the whole book takes place in my hometown of Oakland, and the 57 bus is a bus that actually runs across town from one border to another.
Like north to south or east to west? Or
It kind of runs diagonally, actually.
Okay.
So it covers a lot of the city. It's one of the things that's been fun touring this book is when I'm in Oakland, so many people say to me, oh, I take that bus, or I used to take that bus, or that's the bus I take home from school, or that's the bus I take to work. So it's a bus that is kind of a quintessential Oakland experience in a way.
I think Gertrude Stein said about Oakland, there's no there there, but that's old school. I know that Oakland is a vibrant, diverse community with some wealth and some poverty and pretty much everything in between, including culture and a lot of wonderful people that live there.
Yeah, Oakland's it's a wonderful town. And interestingly, when Gertrude Stein said that, she was talking about the fact that when she went back to find kind of the place of her childhood, that wasn't there.
Right, gone.
But the place that she went to high school is actually Oakland High School, which also plays a big role in the book. It's the school that one of the teenagers that the book is about attended and is known as also for being Gertrude Stein's former high school.
Son of a gun. And she would have been thinking and writing on those terms probably about 100 years ago. So it's sort of a centennial of that. What were the events or what was the trigger that led you to research this event and then write the book?
Well, the entire incident that was the trigger for the article that I wrote, which was a case of two teenagers coming home from school, and one of them is agender, identifies not as male, not as female, and the skirt of that kid, whose name is Sasha, was set on fire on the bus. And that happened in my neighborhood. The 57 bus is the bus that my own kid took home from school, and I first learned about it through my neighborhood listserv as people were posting that this horrific incident had happened on the bus. And as I followed it, you know, first just as a citizen and a neighbor, my journalistic curiosity began to be aroused by some of the issues that were raised by the story. The person who set the fire was, as I said, another teenager, Sasha, who is the gender nonconforming kid whose skirt was set on fire, was 18 at the time of the incident. The kid who set the fire, whose name is Richard, was 16 at the time of the incident and was arrested at school the next day after Sasha had been very badly burned. Richard was then charged as an adult and faced the possibility of life in prison. And so for me, as a journalist who has spent most of my career writing about criminal justice and about 10 years of my career covering Oakland, I was particularly interested in this question of charging a juvenile as an adult and what is to be gained by that and what kind of predictions we can make about a young person who does something really terrible but still has a lot of time to become a better person if we believe that is something that people are capable of doing.
So to clarify, the audience was planned to be and did turn out to be a young adult?
Yeah, and so the book is very much was envisioned as a crossover title and was, you know, marketed as a crossover title and is, in fact, a crossover title, which is very gratifying to me.
My number one goal was
to reach young people because it's a story about young people, and I think the issues are very germane and important to them. And yet, at the same time, I very much wanted adults to read it and didn't want anybody to think that I was talking down to them. And so far, it seems like both audiences have embraced it.
Yeah, I just want to clarify the crossover implies a dual audience, in this case, young adults and crossing over into adults. Have you heard from teens themselves or parents of teens that have gotten into these situations? And if so, what are some of the things you've learned?
The conversations with teenagers are absolutely delightful. you know, these are these questions of kind of what is justice and what is identity and what is gender and, you know, all these big issues are the issues that teenagers love to talk about. And so I've gotten some wonderful letters and had some amazing conversations when I've gone to schools and libraries. And they're all over the map. I've gotten letters from kids who are in juvenile halls currently just saying that they really loved the fact that the book talks about Richard, who's the perpetrator of the crime, as, you know, a complex human being who has friends and family and dreams and ambitions, and not just as a criminal.
Understood.
And I've also, yeah. And so then I've also gotten letters from kids, you know, who live in very affluent neighborhoods, you know, who have never had any brushes with the criminal justice system, who've written to say that they really identified with Richard, because, you know, one boy wrote to me to say, "I'm that guy too, whose friends can dare him to do anything, and if my friends had dared me to do what Richard's friends dared him to do, which is what happened on the bus, he said, you know, I would have done it." And at the same time, I've also gotten lots of letters from people who really identify with Sasha, either because they themselves are gender nonconforming or because there's some other aspect of Sasha that they really identified with. Sasha is kind of a math genius and loves to play different kinds of games and invent languages and all these other, you know, interesting aspects of their personality.
Here is a question that I know you'll resonate with, and something we faced in the library profession, that with young adults, you know, one foot in childhood and another one in you know, the adult, and it's a tough time of transition. And in many cases, authors like yourself attempt to address that with writing fiction or nonfiction that deals with those issues of sexuality and leaving childhood behind in adulthood. And some of it can be a little gritty and a little bit unsettling to some folks. Did you get any pushback from either your editor or your agent or anyone subsequently for writing a book like this, and in, you know, by in so doing, talking about some pretty horrific events, some very potentially divisive social issues?
You know, I've been really fortunate that so far that hasn't happened. I imagine that it will at some point, but so far, people have really been embracing the book in the spirit with which it was given. You know, I really wanted the book to be a place that would open up those conversations, and people have responded to that and wanted to use it in that way to have difficult conversations and, you know, to dig a little deeper into questions of gender and sexuality and different manifestations of those.
There's a story from my career. This goes back probably 30 years, but trying to remember the name of the book. It was one of those tell-all books that was semi-raunchy, I would call it. And we had it in the library. And in the course of about 2 days, I was the library director up north, and I had one mother complain about it, and her kid's life had been ruined because that kid had read a few passages in this book, you know, pillow talk and this and that. I mean, pretty tame by today's standards. But then, by chance, I talked to another mother who read it sections back and forth with their kid, so it the reactions are pretty diverse on you know, a topic. People take it very differently, and it's hard to predict, I suppose.
I have found in my long career as a journalist that you literally can never predict what it is that somebody is going to have a reaction to. That often, you know, the section of an article that I've sweated over the most to try and make sure that it's exactly right and that all the details and nuances are intact, gets completely ignored. And then some, you know, minor thing that I didn't give a second thought to is the thing that, you know, causes somebody to freak out.
Is there an overarching theme or premise or a hypothesis that you hope the readers would take away, or people with whom you discuss the book, about, you know, gender tolerance or racial tolerance. Was there an overarching thing that you want people to get by writing the book?
The main thing that I want people to get is that everybody has a story, and that if you know somebody's story, you might think differently about whatever it is that you had a preconception about. The book has kind of a theme around the idea of binary gender, binary narratives, any kind of either-or premise. And, you know, it's a story that follows both a crime victim and a criminal, the person who committed the crime, and asks you to be interested in both of them and to feel compassion for both of them. And so I hope that that process, which is sometimes uncomfortable, will end up showing that there is always more to the story, as the saying goes, that, you know, people are not all one thing, that they're by nature complex.
This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we were joined by journalist and author Dashka Slater, who recently wrote the book The 57 Bus, about a crime and redemption on a municipal bus in the city of Oakland. And it's winning all kinds of awards. Ms. Slater will be here in the San Luis Obispo County making presentations May 2nd. And there will be books available, the 57 Bus books, for people to read and discuss, and also events at several of the branch libraries. For more information, please go to slolibrary.org and find out more. Dashka, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.